out Jeremiah chapter number 18. Jeremiah chapter number 18. It's so good to see you. And I'm glad to be saved this morning. And my text is very simple this morning. Not nothing you haven't ever heard before. It's nothing original for sure, I'm sure. But it's what the Lord's laid on our heart this morning. And I trust it to be a blessing to you. I didn't know, Brother Steve. I sat in this morning. I didn't teach my Sunday school classes to save my voice. And so I sat in the Sunday school class, adult Sunday school class. Brother Steve always does a wonderful job teaching. But he talked on the four characteristics of a faithful servant. And so, and of course, this text speaks to us about servitude. It speaks to us about God using us in his service. And so anyway, we're going to preach about the potter and the clay. And so we're going to Jeremiah chapter number 18. Very familiar text. Jeremiah means whom Jehovah appoints. And you all understand, remember the calling that was on Jeremiah's life. Jeremiah has always been fascinated by the Christians on Jeremiah because his likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Both of them never married. We realize that each of them was men of sorrow. They came to his own and they came to their own people and they was both rejected. Both of them was acquainted with grief. We realize that they was rejected, desolation, the forsakenness, the different things that is mentioned about Jeremiah that likens him to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many things we could say about this text, but I want to go ahead and read chapter number 18. The Bible says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Rise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." That should be what we want to hear this morning is his words. Amen. "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels." Well, if we wanted to outline these verses, we see the place, and we see the potter. We see the principle here. He's doing a work. We see the purpose is the work on the wheel. Verse number 4, "And the vessel that he had made of clay was mired in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemeth good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up or to pull down and to destroy it, that nation against whom I have pronounced, turn from their evil, I repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them." Now, if I can just stop here for a minute, I'll pray in just a second, but if I can stop, I want to give you the interpretation of the text, if I can, this morning. Then the verses 6 through 12, we see the interpretation. We see the purpose of the potter. Let me go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we need you this morning. God, I pray you'll preach through us. God, I pray that you'll anoint us. God, I pray you touch our voice and God, you in control of all that stuff. And I pray, God, for your will to be done. God, I pray, God, you'll help us, you'll lead us, you'll guide us. But God, I pray you especially speak to hearts this morning. God, I don't know the needs of those that sits here. But God, you know the needs, you know the workings, you know the every facet of their life. You know everything they need. And God, I pray your spirit will preach thousands of messages while I preach one. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. We come here to we see first the purpose of the potter and the clay. He said, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with thee as a potter?" Now, when you come to a text, you realize there's an interpretation of the text, and then there's an application. And Brother Steve said the same thing this morning about the parable he was speaking about. And so I felt like I'm not pulling that from him. It really is already was in my thing. But the interpretation is simply this. He's talking to the house of Israel. He's talking about them being that work that's on the wheel. And God is molding that work, and God has a plan for Israel. And we already know God has a plan for Israel. We've read it in his book. Yeah. He's not done with Israel. Amen. And so he will restore them. We know that's coming. They're earthly people. We realize the millennial's coming. Well, anyway, that's not my text, but that's interpretation. He's dealing with Israel. He's dealing with nations, if you will. Really, he said this could be applied to any nation, but he's dealing with the house of Israel. And the Bible says this, "In what instant, in verse number 7, I speak concerning the nation." Now he gets away from just that one nation and says, hey, God's the one that raises up, and God's the one that pulls down. Now, I want to make a little application here, even though it's in my interpretation. That is, America better watch out. Amen. Because so what he talks about is a nation that turns away from God, that forgets God. He mentions that down here in verse number 15, because my people have forgotten me. When we forget God and turn away from God, the Bible says a nation that forgets God would be turned into hell.
Yeah, amen.
That's still biblical.
Amen.
Amen. And so America better watch it. But the Bible says this, that what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up or to pull down and destroy it. If that nation, if my people, which will call my name, to humble themselves, pray, seek my... Hey, I'm telling you, if America will repent, America can be saved. Can be savaged. Amen. If a church will repent, they can be savaged. If a Christian will repent, hey, God will restore that Christian. You don't have to be saved again. God will restore him. If a sinner will repent, God will save him. But verse number 8, he said, if a nation against whom I pronounce turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, I believe that's what he done with America. I believe he built this, he planted America here. And then it says, if it knew evil in my sight, that it obeyed not my voice, then will I repent of the good. He repented of the thing that he was going to do good to that nation, wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you, and I devise a device against you. Return ye now, everyone, from this his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, there is no hope. Now, I'm not going to preach on that. But I'm telling you, there's hope this morning.
Amen.
There's hope for America this morning.
Amen.
There's hope for Philadelphia Baptist Church. There's hope for your family this morning. If you've headed the wrong direction, you can head in the right direction. I'm glad God is a God of second chances. I'm glad God's a God of third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. Oh, how sad. Oh, how sad. Now, the interpretation of the text is he's dealing with Israel. He's dealing with his chosen people, the Jewish nation. And they say they'll not repent. How sad that is. But now, that's the interpretation. But we see in the Bible has pictures that God puts in the Bible. And here God pictures a clay on the potter's wheel that the potter has a design, has a purpose, that he has that clay there for. And I want to look at that picture. Many times in the Word of God, he gives us pictures that or images that describes our relationship with the Lord. You remember in Psalms 23, the shepherd and the sheep.
Yeah.
Amen? And we see that relationship there. We also see the husband and wife relationship in Ephesians chapter number 5. Where he talks about the wife and the husband. Of course, he likens that into what? The Christ and his church. And so we see those relationships. And so all through the Word of God, we see those things. And they teach us the valuable lessons about life and about ourselves and also about how the Lord works in our life. However, while the sheep has the protector and provided by the shepherd and the wife, we are loved without condition by the husband. And when the children, we understand that this talks about the children and the father in the Bible. And how that relationship between a father and between his children. All these constant things that they teach us about these relationships we have. Here is a relationship about the Lord and his vessels. About the Lord, and these vessels are what? For service. Hey, I am so glad this morning to be saved.
Amen.
I'm glad my name's been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
Oh, see how she said that. I'm glad that I know without a shadow of doubt that I've been sealed by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm part. Y'all ain't even getting this. I'm glad I'm part of the family of God.
Praise the Lord.
I'm glad I've been born again.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm not in Thomas' family. I'm glad I'm in God's family.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad I've been born into His family. I'm just glad to be saved. Amen. But guess what? God didn't just save us just to enjoy life down here and go to heaven. God saved us for service. God saved us to be a vessel fit for the Master's use. It's going to be sad for a lot of people gets to heaven and all their works are burned up. Their life that they live down here, they set up no treasures in heaven because they live for this world and the gods of this world and the things of this world and the stuff of this world. And they truly never gave their heart to serve God. Amen. And so my text and its interpretation is about Israel, but in its application it can be individually talking to each and every one of us. And so I want to, if I can this morning, I want to do that. I want to see, first of all, the preparation of the clay. See, he said, the Bible said for him to go down to the potter's house. Well, when he went down to the potter's house, he starts here. The potter's already got to work on the wheel. But so that's work he has on the wheel. We realize that if we're very smart at all, intelligent at all, and I know y'all, many of y'all, most of y'all more intelligent than I am, so you understand, for this potter to already have a work on the wheel, he's already went and got this clay. This clay didn't just appear there. I mean, and so we out there is a preparation for the clay. There is a preparation for that. J. Wilbur Champion said this, the clay is not attracted in itself. It's not attracted. The potter's not attracted to the clay. But when his hands, the potter, touch it and the thought of the potter is brought to bear upon it and the plan of the potter is worked out in it and through it, then there's a real transformation that takes place. See, the clay is undesirable.
Yeah.
The clay is filthy.
Yeah.
The clay is formless. Yeah. And the clay has to be found.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you said, preacher, who's the clay? Well, we know the potter's the Lord. The clay is you and I.
Yeah,
right. Interpretation is the house of Israel, but in application, it's to each and every individual. To you and I, we're the clay. And you know what? The Bible teaches us that the Lord, Jesus Christ, came to seek and to save the lost.
Yeah. Amen.
And so that clay is that one that has to be found. And before he gets on the potter's wheel, then just to say it very simply, has to be saved.
Yeah.
Amen. So it's that on the potter wheel means that that's a saved person on that potter. That clay is a saved person. But that clay had to be found. Oh, I'm glad you and I have a heavenly Father. And we see the heart of the potter, if you will, that he goes out and he finds that old filthy, formless clay, and he finds it and he brings it to himself. Now, he has some instruments that he does this with. And you and I would call it a spade, or Brother Bo too, we'd call it a shovel, amen. We just, you know, he goes out there and he digs up that clay. That's likened to the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit goes up and it breaks up that foul ground. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God begins to move in someone's life. So you'll never get saved until the Spirit of God convicts you that you're lost.
Amen.
And that's what happens. That's what happens. That potter goes out. And that clay is just useless. I mean, it can't do anything itself. It can't earn anything. It can't express itself. It can't escape. I'm telling you, you know what it is? It's simply this dead on earth. This earth.
Yeah.
Amen. It's like you, we're dead in trespasses and sin.
Yeah.
We had no ability to come to God.
Hey.
You didn't find God. God found you, and I've heard the testimony, and I know what you mean, that, you know, you came looking for God to a service. But why you came looking for God? Because God has already found you, and He'd already made you to have a desire, and He put faith in you, and you had came looking for Him because He's already convicted you and showed you that you was lost. You knew you needed something. If you was looking for something, you needed something. Amen. You knew you needed it. That's why you came. I understand that. But He come to where we was. Amen. Well, I'm glad He specializes in finding old clay. I think about that old demonic in Mark. Is it Mark chapter 5? I believe that demonic in Gardea. Demonic man. Hey, guess what? He found that old mentally troubled man. I mean, they thought he was crazy. They couldn't tame him. But Jesus showed up. He found some old clay. Amen. I'm glad the potter can find the clay. Amen. I think about when he went down there, that woman that had an issue of blood. Hey, he found a medical problem there. He found she'd had that issue of blood for 12 years. I'm glad he finds those clay. I'm talking those problem clays. He can find them. Amen. I'm glad he seeks for the clay. He finds the clay. I think about it. He went to Zacchaeus. He must have been a misfit. I mean, he was short in stature. He was a man that was a thief and different things. But yet, when Jesus came and went to his house, all things changed. I'm telling you something about when the potter finds the clay. Amen. Well, I'm glad he found me at Rutter Chapel Baptist Church as a little 7-year-old boy. Rutter Chapel Baptist Church in Stevenson, Alabama. Hey, I was just an old piece of dirty clay. God, he saved me. That's what he does. He finds that clay. I think about that moral problem that Samaritan woman had. But you know what? I'm glad he's looking for that. He's looking for that filthy, dirty clay. Amen. I think we bought into this thing that we're pretty good people, but we're not. The Bible says we're desperate. Our heart's desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. I know we cleaned up, shined up, amen. I know we put on our right guard and left guard, and we put on a little perfume and a little cologne, and we look pretty good this morning. That's fine. But you know what? Within you, hey, you just go out here and live with us a few days and don't take a bath. You know what you'll do? You'll stink. Yeah, man. That's just all we are, just stinking flesh. I know Smiley won't tell you that, but that's the truth. Amen. That's what we are. And I'm telling you, the Lord, he specializes in finding dirty clay. Amen. Oh, what a blessing to know that he does that. I think about even that murderous problem, that Saul Tarsus. There he stood when Stephen being stoned and consented to the death of Stephen. Oh, but yet he was a piece of clay that God found.
Yeah.
On the road to Damascus and saved him. This morning, are you a piece of clay that God's found you? Has his shovel, the Holy Ghost, has it pricked around your heart? Has it moved in your life as the Holy Ghost? I've got Jesus specializing in saving the sinners by his grace. Then he begins a process of cleansing them and changing that vile sinner into something that would produce glory for the Lord. What a blessing that is to know. I tell you the process there, the preparation of the clay. First of all, he takes a shovel out and he goes finds it. I'm glad the Lord found me. Are you glad he found you?
Amen.
I mean, are y'all alive out there? Are you glad to have been saved? Amen. I'm glad he found me. Amen. But then we see there's a, after that shovel, and there's a, what they call a slipping process. Now, I'm preaching to you, I'm not a potter. I've never watched a potter make a piece of pottery. I've never made a piece of pottery, so I'm speaking as a novice. So if I don't have everything right, the internet's wrong. Anyway. But as I studied about this pottery, and of course, you know, you've got to realize how we do it today and how they done it back then. And so, you know, I don't know if they had really a shovel like we would have in that day, of course, but they call it a slipping process is what they call it. Once they went out and they dug that, they bring it in to the house of the potter.
Hey.
I could only have to go no farther.
Hey.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. We're in the Father's house.
Yeah.
Amen. But anyway, when he takes it, he brings it to the house. And guess what he does to it? He adds the water to it.
Yeah.
Of course, in the Bible, the water is a picture of the Word of God. Amen.
Yeah.
And he waters it. He makes it like slime. And it has, and then they take that and they have a string and, you know, they put it on what they call that thing of, you know, it's like a screening process. And you got that screen there, a silken. What's that word? What is it? Silken. A silken. So what? Sifting? Sifting. There's the word I want. That's a country way of saying it. Sifting. And so it's a sifting process going. And he takes that water and then they put that sifting on that, put it on that. Of course, in that day and time, they would have some kind of a. Some kind of mat that would have had holes in it, or that had some kind of metal with holes in it, or what we would call wire, and they would have that, and they put that through it. And what they was trying to do is just trying. What it was doing, it was cleansing. It was cleansing that clay.
Yeah.
It was getting those rocks out of it, and getting that the grass out of it. And if we could liken it in our day, it's getting the sin out of our life.
Yeah.
So when a person gets saved, that's when God starts working on it. Working on a person.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, some people get saved and they realize that they have to learn a new language. Amen. Some get saved and have to realize they have to learn the new geographic places. They don't go to the same places they used to go to. People that really get saved don't go to the same places they used to go.
Amen.
And so, I got my doubts about Johnny so-and-so and gets saved, still goes down to the bar, and still goes down and sings honky-tonk. And, amen. And so what I'm saying is, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. What God's doing, that potter's a doing. Boy, I've got turkey. That potter. So the bad thing about getting a sermon real early in the week, you study it all week, and you get a lot of things on it. Anyway, he called it a slipping process. I don't know why they call that. I'd call it a screening process, but that's what they call it. Then they have another process they call. And it starts with S. I can't remember what it is right now. Let me look at my notes. Okay, I told you I'm preaching as a novice. A settling process.
Yes.
A settling process. What do they do? They take a tank or a piece of wood, something like a barrel, and once it went through this slime and slipping, and all the slime is went through this screening process. I'm going to call it a screening process no matter what they call it. And then when it goes through it, and then then they put it in that water. Again, they put it in that barrel, and guess what they do? They covered it up with the water. And that water saturates it once again. I'm telling you, you can't get away from the Word of God. If you're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're going to add to your faith, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, you're going to have this Word. You say, preacher, I'm just not growing like I should. How much are you reading and praying? Well, it ain't a real hard thing. It's really simple, but it's kind of hard to do, but it's simple to be taught.
Yeah.
Reading and praying. Reading and praying. Obedience. So they take this thing, they call it the settling process, and they call it a settling tank, and it settles in there, and then it's pulled out of that tank. After a little bit, it's pulled out of that tank. And this was strange for me, and we always mentioned this at the church. You know, you don't want to take a novice and put them in a real important position, usually. You don't want to put somebody in a position too fast. I believe a lot of people have been hurt by being put in over a Sunday school class or different things. And I mean, you know, they weren't ready for it. And I mean, getting a Sunday school lesson every Sunday is not just that easy.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I mean, getting a Sunday school lesson, having two messages ready every Sunday, hey, it's not an easy thing to do. Amen. I'm just saying, and so, you know what they do? They lay this, what they call like a plastic material, that clay, they lay it up for usually at least 6 months. It's laid up. Now, before they lay it up, once they're doing all that processing, I understand there's another process, and I can't put an S on it, and it's simply this. Once they get it through that settling process, they take it out, and then they walk on it. Some of them talked about not walking on it, but taking it with their hands. But many of them talked about that they walked on it. You know what that represents? The trials, the troubles, the tears, the life circumstances that come. And they take it in their hands and squeeze it and work it as they put it under their feet. And they press on it. It's a pressing process. You know what they're doing? They're getting that clay ready for molding. They're getting ready for it to be pliable. And again, it's put up for this amount of time. And when it seems fit for the potter, he goes in there and gets that clay and he puts it on the wheel. And that's where a text comes in. He wrought a work on the wheel. Amen. Now, I did forget one thing there about that when they're doing that, mashing it, and when they're doing it through their hands, they called it a mallet. We would call it a hammer. And they take that old wooden mallet, they lay that, and they beat it. Hammer, Bible's likened to a hammer, the Word of God. And it, you know what it's beating? You know, they've already, at this time, Brother Jamie, this time they've already got the rocks out of it. They're pretty certain of that. They've already got the grass out of it. They're pretty certain of that. But you know what they're trying to knock out of it? The air. They're trying to knock the air out of it. Because the air, once it begins to be molded, the air will be a weak spot in it. Boy, that air to me represents this old self. The hardest thing for God to get out of anybody, for God to get out of the clay, is this old self. So your number one enemy, I know wives, you like to tell us, oh, that man who gave me God, if it wasn't for him, I'd serve God. If it wasn't for him, I'd be something. Oh, if it wasn't for her, Lord, if you hadn't gave me that woman, my goodness. We could do a lot of things. No, sir, ma'am, you're number one enemy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man.
Amen.
Amen.
He beats it. Paul talked about buffeting the body. Right. He had to beat back this old body. They take a mallet and they beat it. And again, they set it up. And when it gets time for the potter, when he feels lead, then he takes it out and he puts it on the wheel. And I liken the wheel to life. The wheel is our life. And it's, you know, it's sometimes it seems like it's just, you know, it's just in and just day in. Time just goes by so fast. It's just day in and out. This happens and that happens. Life just happens. Things come. Children come. Family responsibilities come. Bills come. All the different things that come. But you realize the potter's got you on the wheel. And when he puts you on the wheel, a good potter never lets his hand off of the clay. I'm telling you, thank God for the touch of the master's hand. Thank God that the heart of the master, the heart of the potter, that he goes and finds the clay. He works with that clay. And see, now he has an investment in that clay. And he's got something in his mind. Look what it says in verse number 3. And then I went down to the potter's house. And behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. See, he had a purpose for that piece of clay. He had something in mind that he wanted it to be. Whatever vessel he was going to make it, he had that vessel to make. But here comes the problem the potter has. Look at verse number 4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred. You know what that means? It crumbled. It failed. He put the pressure to it, and there was something within it that would not wield, would not yield, would not give to the potter's hand, and it caused the clay to break. It marred in his hand. I don't know what it is this morning. I couldn't tell you what it was. I can't tell what it is in your life. But I can tell you this, God's got you on the wheel. And he's wanting to make, he has a design for you young people. He has a design for you moms and dads and grandparents and grandpa. He has a design. He has a desire to make you something. But the problem is that clay has to be yielded to the potter's hand. It has to be yielded to the potter's plan. It has to be willing to be molded anyway. If he starts it out small at the bottom, or he stops it out way wide at the bottom, whatever he does to it, that clay has to be willing to do that. And when it's not, it's mired in the potter's hand. But oh, here, you got to see this. Brother Stringer, we see the patience of the potter. See, Brother Mike, it don't matter who you are. It don't matter what your spiritual condition is. You're probably going to mire on the potter's wheel. There's probably not a Christian in here that hadn't needed a second chance.
Yeah.
You say, you don't know me. No, I don't know you, and I probably don't want to know you if you're going to lie like that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because, see, there's just too much about us. There's just too much air in us. There's just too much stuff around get entangled that contaminate the clay. And I'm glad we have a patient Heavenly Father. Because see what He could do, Brother Hub, He could just take that clay. He says, I've invested so much in it. And yet it will not yield to my hands. And it will not make, will not become what I want it to be. And He could take it and cast it away. Could He not?
Yeah.
But He don't. But you read it in the text, what He does, He takes that clay. Forms it again, sets it in the center of His will. One potter said this. He said, to make a piece of perfect pottery, you have to have it in the very center of the wheel. It's got to start in the very center. He said, it took me just a few weeks, months to know how to make a pot. But he said, it took me 7 years to figure out how to get it in the center. There's something about being in the center of God's will. We have a heavenly potter that will put us right in the center of His will. And His hands, His touch will be upon us. His presence will be with us. And He tries to mold us and we mire in His hand. But He's patient.
Yes, He is.
You know, there's something that to me corresponds with being patient. That means He's loving. He's caring.
Yeah.
He's compassionate. He's just not interested in making something. He's interested in that piece of clay being what He desires for it to be. Amen?
Yeah.
He's interested in desiring what He have it to be. I got some other things. We see the plan of the potter, different things. But I want to get down to this. So the potter achieves his purpose by the means of the will. And all the things that you have that come into your life, that's just the wheel going around. And the potter has his hand in your life just like he did in Job's. Just like he did in David's hand. Just like he did in Paul's hand. Amen.
Yeah.
And life is going. You know what he does? He controls the pace of that wheel. He can make it run fast. He can slow it down. He controls the direction of that wheel. He's in total control of that wheel.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, He's in total control of your life. Are y'all getting this?
Yeah.
He's in total control. I mean, He's totally involved in your life.
Amen.
He knows. The Bible says He knows how many hair. He's numbered our hair. I don't mean He just knows how many is on our head right now. He knows how many has been there from birth, from in the womb, all the way to death. He knows how many hair. How much hair we've had. He's numbered every one of them. That means you ladies, when you get out of the bathtub and you see all that hair that y'all have, then He's numbered every one of those. He sees them all going through the drain. You men that's like me are losing a lot of them. He's counted every one you lost. He hadn't replaced them either. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, that's what kind of God we have. That's what kind of potter we have. That means He's felt every pain you felt.
Yeah.
That means He knows every tear. And while He has that on the wheel, He keeps watering it.
Yeah.
Get this now. The vessel does not manufacture anything. The vessel don't make anything. The vessel only receives. It only receives. I'm glad. I'm so glad I received Him.
Amen.
I'm so glad I'm saved this morning. Amen. I have the Spirit of God living inside of me. So I can't manufacture anything. I can't do anything. Well, the Bible teaches us without Christ, without Him, John chapter 15 tells us we can do nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. Nothing.
Yeah.
Without Him. The vessel, all it does is receive. The vessel, all it is, it just contains.
Yeah.
It holds that which is put in it. And the vessel shares. Whoever will pour out of that vessel, whoever will take out of it. I think about that little vessel, that little curse of oil. Can you imagine that little vessel for that little widow, that little widow woman? And this is what I believe. I mean, you can believe what you want to. But she said she took off. She had this little curse of oil. She had a little meal in a barrel. And I think about that little barrel. That, you know what that was? Just a vessel.
Yeah.
And I believe she went in there that day and she took out all the meal she had. She was just going to bake two cakes. I mean, she's just going to bake cake and eat it, and her son's going to die.
Yeah, right.
The next day she went in there, there's a little bit more meal in there. I don't think it was full to the brim. No, there's just a little bit more. Hey, that vessel, that little barrel, had a little bit more in it. I don't know what God's doing in your life, but I'm telling you, He can put a little bit more and a little bit more.
Amen.
And then you're curseful, He put a little bit more and a little bit more. Hey, when you need a little joy, He can put a little joy. When you need a little bread, when you need some life in you to sustain you, He'll put it there for you. Because you're just a vessel. You can't do it, but He can do it.
Yeah.
You're just a vessel. That barrel was sharing that little meal. That cursed woman was sharing that little. I'm telling you, He's got you on the wheel. Sister, you come, huh? I'm not done, but I'm going to end it just a second. This vessel to be used, we know it was mired. He made it again, another vessel. It seemed good to the potter to make it. For this vessel to be used, there's three things that needs to be. And it's the same thing in your life. While she's playing, I'm going to give you these three things very quickly. First of all, the vessel needs to be clean. Nobody wants to use a dirty vessel.
Yeah.
If you're going to go get water for your children, what would you use? A clean vessel.
Yeah.
Not only does the vessel need to be clean, the vessel needs to be available.
Yeah.
It's got to be there. It needs to be available. And then lastly, it needs to be empty that it might be filled.
Hey, yeah.
See, if you're filled with this world and filled with the things of this world, God can't use your vessel. But if you'll empty yourself this morning, then He will fill you.
Amen.
Be not drunk with wine, as I said. Be filled with the Spirit. It's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. You know why sometimes I'm not filled with the Spirit? Sometimes you're not filled with the Spirit because we're full of this world.
Yeah.
Mama could always tell when supper time came if I'd been into the cookies, I'd been into the chips. Because when Mama put that meal out there, I wasn't hungry. I wouldn't eat like I should. I didn't desire it, Brother Nick, because why? I was full.
Yeah.
You don't watch it, you're getting full of this world. Lot, by sin and hearing, he vexed his righteous soul. He got full of this world. It cost him. Cost him his wife. Cost him his family. Cost him his future. Brought shame to his future. When you think about Moab, you don't think about a good place. Moab was a son that was born out of the relationship that he had with one of his daughters. A vessel has to be empty that it can be filled. This morning you could be sitting in the midst of the service and you're lost. He wants to find you. He's looking for you. He's searching for you. That's why he sent a preacher down this morning to preach. I'm not preaching this morning. We got the preacher preaching this morning. He wants to save you this morning. We're standing our heads about.
I had the opportunity to teach Sunday school this morning in Psalm chapter 38. And David comes down to the end and he says, Lord, help me. We said this morning, 650,000 phone calls a day to 911 relay centers across America. But the majority of them are for helping somebody else. We had some help here this morning. I trust that your prayer was, God, help me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this message. Lord, I pray you'd help each one of us to be the clay that you'd have us to be available, to be clean, to be emptied of ourselves. Lord, we know that you will do what is right and what is true as the potter. And God, I pray you'd help us to have a help me attitude, Lord, that you'd be able to use us both today, this week, as we go our separate ways. Lord, I pray to help each one of us to be faithful to your house this evening. Lord, not forsaking your house, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. But Lord, that you can do what you'd have, what you would desire to do in us. In Jesus' name.